Cameron, this is Smee Girl, and you're listening to the Not Religious Podcast. It's precious!
Hey guys, welcome back to the Not Religious Podcast, where we are choosing a relationship with Jesus over the trappings of religion. You like that? Does that sound a little bit more professional than what I normally do? Where I'm like, hey guys, welcome.
That caught me off guard.
Did it?
Yeah. I thought you were going to do something very slapstick, and then you pulled a Reverend Blake on me.
More professional.
Good for you.
It's where we're heading.
You're going to be 1 year older, so you're maturing.
Right. Yeah. I feel the age of 27 creeping up upon me.
The culmination of 26 is upon you.
Yeah. I feel it rising up within me.
Do you feel like you've done all that you were supposed to do in 26?
No.
Really?
No. I feel like there's still a lot wrong with this world, and I didn't fix it all. But I did accomplish a lot of things.
Are you taking that on yourself? Is that your mission?
I am. This place is a mess. This whole world is in shambles, and I should have fixed it at the age of 26, and I didn't. So I apologize to every single one of you. However, I did accomplish a lot at the age of 26.
You got married.
I got married.
Had sex.
And then...
After you got married.
After I got married, and then I got... I went to Disney World. That was something.
And had sex.
And then
on Space Mountain.
Not exactly on Space Mountain, but
in the line.
We had to kill time somehow. We started this podcast. That was something successful at the age of 26.
Look at you.
But you know, there's a lot more I could have done.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I think that's pretty good.
Anyway, I'm Blake.
I'm Brian.
And welcome back to another episode of the Not Religious Podcast. We didn't do one last week because it was Thanksgiving.
Right.
So we spent that time together. Me and you bonded.
We did.
Yeah.
Can we bond anymore?
I don't think that's
There's always room for more bonding between us. We enjoyed the Thanksgiving holiday. We enjoyed watching football again on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's coming down to the very end of that. I'm sad to see it go.
Yeah. It's always sad, the end of college football season.
Yeah.
But it comes up on you quick.
Yeah.
I feel like the time in between is pretty quick.
Yeah. I had a little discussion with our buddy Aaron earlier today, and we talked about the Alabama and the SEC conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think we need to look into a lot more.
Yeah, we need to definitely do an episode on that.
Yeah, because it infuriates me.
There's something there.
Something. I always felt there was something fishy about that, and I think I'm pretty good with discernment.
Yeah.
So something is wrong with that whole thing.
There's something there, and yeah. I think that'd be a good topic.
Yeah. Well, today's topic is not about college football by any means whatsoever. Today we're going to be discussing, I want to start with, the Uncanny Valley. Brian, have you ever heard of the Uncanny Valley?
This one I've actually heard of.
Okay.
But every time I go to say it, I say Creepy Valley.
Creepy Valley, right.
But I say Uncanny Valley.
Still appropriate.
Or no, but I should say Uncanny Valley.
Well, for those of you who are not aware of what the Uncanny Valley is, let me inform you. So, Christmas is coming up. December is like right here. One of your favorite Christmas movies might be The Polar Express. A lot of people love that movie.
I am not one of them.
You're not one of them.
But not for this
reason.
Not
for this reason. You just don't care.
It's so dang long and boring. I'm like, gosh.
Hot chocolate.
I'm over it. To the point to where I've probably watched the movie 17 times. Never seen the end.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I just don't care.
I'll tell you this. I don't mind the movie. I think I'm okay with it. However, there's a huge group of people who it makes them really uncomfortable watching that movie, and it freaks them out a little bit. The use of CGI to the extent to where it's so realistic but not realistic enough.
Yeah.
Freaks some people out.
Right.
And when you put on a graph talking about how realistic an animation can be, that type of creep factor is called the Uncanny Valley.
The Uncanny Valley.
Yes.
Machimatoro, what's the guy's name?
So it's used in reference to the phenomenon where a computer-generated figure or humanoid robot. Yep, we'll get into that. Bearing a near identical resemblance to a human being arouses a sense of unease or revulsion in the person viewing it. So, the concept of the Uncanny Valley suggests humanoid objects which appear almost but not exactly like real human beings elicit uncanny and strangely unfamiliar feelings of eeriness and revulsion. And it's mostly seen in stuff like CGI movies and video games and robots.
Yeah.
And then your favorite, lifelike dolls.
Now,
you think that might be why?
No, it has nothing to do. I am scared as crap.
Yeah.
Of dolls and puppets.
Yep.
That just look old-timey dolls and puppets. Like Avery's dolls that she has now, like the American Girl dolls or whatever. They don't bother me.
Yeah.
But like old school dolls,
like the burnt doll that's in the house
at your mom's house.
Yep. Can I tell you where that was at?
Yeah, now that we've moved out.
In that bedroom that y'all were sleeping in.
Shut your face!
Dead serious.
So where?
If you know the little, it's almost like a, not really a secret door, but it
the
leads
thing
into
to
the
attic?
Yeah. It's sitting right behind where that door is at.
And
dead
you
serious.
Went in that attic with me in that room. Did you see it when you went in that? You remember you were doing something.
Not that room. That was Avery's apartment.
No. I'm talking in the room Lee and I were in. Your mom had you go in to that little attic space, and I remember you opening the door and going in, and like you looked to the right, like something like caught your attention, and I thought to myself,
"Yep,
that freaking doll is in there."
Yep, it is. Right as you open the door and look right,
that's where it is.
That's where it was, with its face.
Get behind me, Satan!
With its face like it was in the corner or something like
that.
Oh, my gosh. Almost like it had gotten in trouble.
Oh, no.
It had gotten in trouble with Satan, and Satan put that evil doll in the corner to punish it.
That doll was evil.
Can you get in trouble with Satan?
I'm sure.
Or is it like if you do something good, then
in
Satan
the,
puts
no,
you in the
No, in the movie Constantine.
I need to watch that.
Yeah. Satan gets kind of pissy with some...
Keanu Reeves?
Yeah. Hmm. Who is immortal? Anyway.
He really
anyway. Is. No, the thing, it's old-timey dolls or puppets.
Yeah.
Like, Howdy Doody scares the freaking mess.
There's a Howdy Doody doll somewhere up there, too.
Oh, my God.
I'm dead serious. Now, that I don't know where it's at.
Yeah.
I truly have lost that one, and I have no clue where that doll is at.
Well, what it is for me is it's the old-timey stuff, and not really new timey things or, you know, new age things that bother me. It's that old timey.
There's a creep factor to things that were made back in the 50s and, you know, at toy. Even if you go back and look at like Halloween costumes from back then.
Definitely.
Or how Disney used to do like Mickey Mouse costumes and stuff. It was weird.
Very weird.
Yeah.
But anyway.
People didn't think anything of it back then.
Right. But anyway, it's not Uncanny Valley for me.
Okay. Well, for some people it is when it comes to dolls and things like that.
So it's basically like you're watching a movie and it has a character in it that's either CGI or it's a robot or an android person or whatever that is slightly human or is like 80% human, but there's like 20% that you can tell it's robotic.
It's just not.
Or
it's not quite human.
And that makes people, that repulses people.
Yeah.
Like they get, they.
Very uneasy.
Very uneasy.
They're like, no, get it away from me. It was coined by the roboticist. I'm gonna try not to butcher his name, Masaharu Modi.
Sure.
It's better than what I did
back in way back in 1970. So they've had this going on for a while. It's just more evident now because of the technology that we've developed over the past several decades.
Right.
But he stated that the more that robots become human-like, the more they would start to repulse society. The graph, like I described at the very beginning, shows a certain level of human-like appearances is okay, but then it hits its peak.
Right.
And then it starts to freak us the crap out.
Right. Well, in psychology and really humans look for that association of humanity. So yeah. In clouds, in food, in like wood grain or yeah. what, you know, oh, yeah. any kind of thing. If they recognize a face, your brain is taught to recognize that. You know, your brain is hardwired to try to find a face to recognize, you know, the computing part of your brain. This is the reason why people see faces and ghosts and spirits yeah. and stuff a lot, especially yeah. in like fog or in woods yeah. or things like that. They tend, your brain is hardwired to recognize a face.
Yeah.
So when that face doesn't compute with the brain, that is when it sends signals to something's not right. Now, for the majority of people, it's, oh, that doesn't look human. You know, oh, something's not right. You know, it doesn't look human. But for some people, it makes them very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The if you're wondering about what are some examples of the uncanny valley? I'll be glad to tell you, audience. Because I looked up a bunch of them. Way back in 2001, let's hop in our time machine. Strap in.
I so wish I had a time machine.
Don't we all? We're going to sit in this DeLorean that we just purchased. Oh, God. We're going to go way back to the year 2001.
Okay.
There was a movie that came out that was based on the video game series Final Fantasy.
Right.
That was all CGI, but it was all like motion capture suits and things mm-hmm. like that they use for video games and stuff.
Right.
Where they put all the motion capture sensors on the people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
So it picks up every single movement of their face. Yeah, everything that they do. Yeah. Every time their eyes move.
Mm-hmm.
And they made this entire movie. And way back in 2001, I read that even like some of the most simplest of movements would take an hour and a half at the time
right.
to fully capture and animate.
Right.
So this movie comes out. They thought it was going to be this huge success because of the technology that was used with it.
Right.
And it bombed because right. people said it made them so uncomfortable watching it.
Right.
So there's a good example of how the Uncanny Valley affects Hollywood.
Right.
There was a time, also in the same year, mm-hmm. they did a test screening for Shrek
mm-hmm.
where they had the human version of Fiona.
Mm-hmm.
She used to look a lot different. Now, I haven't found any pictures yet. I hadn't had time to look, but apparently she looked way more human-like okay. than what came across in the movie, because in the test screenings, there were kids that started crying because
when she came out,
they freaked her out, or that she freaked them out
yeah.
so bad. So they went back and they scrapped it, and they redid her animation to kind of make her more cartoon-like,
mm-hmm.
Ultimately before turning her into a giant green ogre. Do you remember the presidential like ride at Disney World where it was like the animatronic presidents right. and they're all like talking to each other?
Right.
That was one that started right. to really freak people out because it was just so realistic. Disney did a great job of recreating those presidents, but they're robots.
Right.
And it just was like people were so uncomfortable with them. So there's some good examples of what they would consider, I guess, almost bombs because of the Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
And then you have more successful ones like any Pixar movie.
Well, Pixar tries to steer away from making whatever it is too human-like.
Yeah.
Even with Woody in Toy Story,
yep.
You can tell he's a doll.
He's got elongated features,
right,
really
right.
big eyes. And
right.
Yeah.
It's doll-like.
Yeah.
So they steer clear of trying... And Monsters, Inc., the little girl.
Yeah.
Boo.
Anytime they use a human, they do a really good job of still
making
it a cartoon.
Right. The Incredibles, that's another good good example.
Yeah.
They don't... You can draw the comparison of, okay, I'm watching this, these people are supposed to be human, but it's still an animated cartoon.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, Smeagol from Lord of the Rings, that was also in the year 2001. So it's still that time frame of how much do we invest in making this thing...
Right.
Which Smeagol's supposed to be like a creature anyway.
Sure.
But they were still very careful about...
Not making it too human.
Right. They didn't want to hit that uncanny valley.
Mm-hmm.
And then the movie franchise flopped because of it.
Right.
So they took their time with it, did a lot of tests with how they were going to make that character come to life on the big screen.
It's a real thing. Oops. And
sorry.
I don't think that, it doesn't bother me. But what does
bother
me.
It doesn't bother me either. Yeah.
What does bother me is, like, the development of... Have you seen how far along these robotic...
Oh, yeah.
Robots are coming?
Yep.
And not to take a weird turn here, but what was it Lee and I were watching? Oh. I can't remember what it was, but, like, it was... Oh, man, it's... Like one of these reality shows or something. And they were like interviewing this guy who worked in robotics or whatever. Turns out he's in the sex industry or whatever.
Oh, sex robots.
Yeah, but, you know, the show we were watching had nothing to do with it, so they didn't focus on that.
Yeah.
You could just tell.
That's where.
Right, like the dolls hanging behind him. You're like, oh, yeah, we know exactly what you're doing, pal. But, I mean, how lifelike these things... Oh, it was a show on the History Channel.
Yeah.
That's what it was. But how lifelike...
Duck Dynasty.
That's not on the History Channel. That's on the Crap Channel.
Andy, sorry.
Yeah. But how far along people are coming in making robots seem real.
Yeah.
And lifelike and human-like, it's uncanny.
Listen, I think any of the people who are in the sex robot industry,
it's just funny to say.
That's a lot of time and effort invested into that device.
Hmm.
I think there's a girl out there that can really appreciate your smarts. So, you know, you don't have to invest that much into the sex robot, my friend.
Yeah. I don't think that's why they... I don't think they're looking for a nice girl. Sorry.
Everyone's looking for a nice girl.
Yeah, I don't think these guys are.
I'm just saying, like, I'm on your side.
There you
okay?
go.
I don't think you're a loser.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think you're a very intelligent human being, and there's a girl out there that's just perfect for you.
Right.
So, anyway.
There you are.
So, now that we're...
Jesus loves you.
Now that we've broken the ice with sex robots, that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about... we're going to kind of move from the Uncanny Valley, because that's a good, like... a good intro into the main point of today.
An appetizer.
Yes. Let's face it. We're on the cusp of a robot overtaking.
Skynet is getting more and more probable as the days go by.
Yep.
And for the people who don't know what Skynet is, Skynet is the AI in Terminator.
Yeah.
So the artificial intelligence that takes over and kills humanity in Terminator.
Yeah. And if you're ever around Brian for more than 10 minutes, at some point you're probably going to hear him use the phrase Skynet.
Skynet.
And you might think it's funny, but he's being serious.
There are a few subjects that I am as serious about.
Yeah.
Skynet is just a loose term of what I qualify as a complete artificial intelligence takeover.
Yeah.
Which I think, now listen, I hear pastors talk about all the time. They'll say things like, we're living in the end days. I feel like Jesus will come back in our lifetime. Dude, they've been saying that since like the 50s and 40s. And I mean, they have just been saying
it.
And
it's a, I always felt like
it's
that's
a shtick.
That's a good,
yeah,
good way to bring people down to the altar is to tell them that we're in the end of days.
Definitely.
This is, you know.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard, you know, I firmly believe that in our lifetime we will see Jesus again.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard pastors say, I think that whatever year it was, this is the year of our Lord.
Yeah.
And this is when he's coming back.
Right. Oh, God. Anyhow, so I truly think, I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, yeah. Like, I truly think in our lifetime, we will see a catastrophe caused by AI.
Yeah.
Now, the scale of that catastrophe, I'm not sure of.
It's just something.
Something malevolent, something, you know, maniacal, something very wrong is going to happen because of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
This is going to sound weird and bad. I hope it's to the scale of Skynet.
Lord, I'm right there with you because it's almost like a bad car accident.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want the people to be hurt.
Right, but how freaking cool would it be?
If you drive by and the car is on fire, you're like, nice.
Right. How cool would it be if we're fighting Terminator robot?
Yeah.
See, I did it again. I often say robot. Robots. Like...
That's what you call your sex robot.
Yeah, robot. No, dude, the technology that we see today. So if you're watching the news, if you're that person who watches the news and is watching all the, you know, crap going on wherever it's going on, and you hear them talk about drone strikes or things like that. Okay, so that technology that we are allowed to see, that they're reporting on, these predator drones or whatever kind of drones they are, that's technology that was developed 20 years ago, that was put into use 10 years ago, that we are just now able...
Being open about it.
Right, able to know about. Mm-hmm. Think about if that was the technology 20 years ago where they could fly something 20,000 feet in the air and pinpoint a hair on your head from 20,000 feet and send a freaking cruise missile to blow you, you know, and the surrounding area, just blow that apart. Think about, that was developed 20 years ago. Think about what they're doing, what they're capable of doing now. Not to mention, they know everything that we're saying, doing, living. I mean, the amount of information that we make available to artificial intelligence is crazy. Crazy. And I'm a part of it.
Yep.
I played my Alexa today. You know, I have two Alexas in the house. I have Siri on my phone. My car, the new car we just bought, has, you know, is smartphone, whatever, sync enabled. We are feeding this artificial intelligence so much information. And that is what it thrives on, is more and more data, more and more information.
So, Stephen Hawking, said that it won't be decades before we have We have drones that can pinpoint, you know, exact people that that match a certain criteria and can eliminate them. He said it's just a few years.
Yeah. What?
What are you laughing at? So, I was so messed up.
What are you laughing at?
Sorry. Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
Do you remember, God rest his soul, do you remember when he passed away?
Yeah. Stop it.
And what his final...
What his final words were? Dude, if you play it, we won't be able to finish the podcast. Save it for the end, because I will not be able to finish
the
podcast.
Okay, we'll close the show out with Stephen Hawking.
It's horrible. We are so going to hell for laughing about that.
But we'll save Stephen Hawking's final words for the end of the program.
I won't be able to keep it together.
Sorry. Okay, anyway. So Stephen Hawking said, you know, we're not too far off from getting there. And that's kind of scary, especially when you think about how much we already use AI and how it's so user-friendly even now.
Right.
Just look at Siri.
Right.
And
Alexa. Hey, here's something for you, audience. Have you ever been on Facebook and you're scrolling through and then an ad or whatever, you pass an ad and you're like, huh, that's weird. I was just talking about that the other day.
Yep.
Not just thinking about that, mm-hmm. just talking about that.
Yep.
There's a reason why that pops up like that. There's a reason. Your accounts, your information, everything is linked.
Yep.
There's a huge conspiracy.
They're listening in constantly.
Right.
And if you don't think that they're listening constantly,
good for you.
Good for you. Yeah, that's a safe way to live. Yep. But the thing about it is they have to be because they're voice prompted.
Right.
So, you know, my phone is constantly listening to my conversations,
right,
because it's waiting for me to say, hey, Siri.
Right.
And there we go.
There we are.
Okay. One option is Springfield Suite.
Anyway.
There you go.
So Alexa is the same way. She's listening out for a command.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly.
So once she gets it, then that's her time to chime in.
And here's the deal. Alexa, Echo, they are made by Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon is one of the biggest retailers in the world, who is also a ad partner with, guess, Facebook.
Yeah.
So you don't think that your information is being fed through Echo or Alexa, algorithmed, and then fed into Facebook's algorithms to spit out on your screen?
Yep.
Dude.
Also, is Amazon already doing the whole delivery by drones
thing? Yeah, that's happening.
So there you go.
They're delivering toothpaste by drones.
Yeah. But they're not the only ones that are trying to, quote unquote, make life easier by doing that.
Sure.
I mean, you touched on it already a little bit about the military is going more towards using drones and things like that, because not only is it going to save from having to use actual, you know, men going in there and having to do things.
Or women.
Well,
let's face it, it's men. Anyway, go ahead. go ahead.
It's saving them money. And,
yeah, you ton. Know,
We've already touched on how war is nothing but a big money game anyway.
Right.
So why not save some more money by doing these things, like
bringing
drones into it, and you know, you can bring your troops home then.
Right.
And it just works out for everybody.
Listen.
However.
I mean, and it's not just drone information, okay? The amount of artificial intelligence that's used by the United States in our military capacity is unreal.
Yeah.
It is unreal. It's not just drones. There is a crap ton of data gathering that happens and data processing by the U.S. military, by the CIA, by the NSA, by all of these agencies. And it's just not about dropping bombs. It's a...
I'm going to have to drop a bomb in the bathroom later.
Dang it. It is all kinds of data. Listen, there's only a few supercomputers in the existence that we know about.
Yeah.
Never once do we talk about, if you read up on supercomputers or anything like that, do they talk about the NSA, the CIA, or the U.S. military? Do you really think that there is an existence of a supercomputer and our military doesn't have it?
Oh, yeah.
Shut your face. It's crazy. It is, and the amount of smart people, smarter than you and I, the amount of smart people who are so against the progression of AI is
astounding.
It is crazy. You would think these people would be all for it because, number one, it's science. Number two, it's technology, and they can nerd out and geek out. Or number three, it's a moneymaker for them.
Yeah.
It's a huge moneymaker for them.
But they know that you are playing with fire.
Right. These
are some of the smartest people in the entire world.
And they're like, no, this is bad. Please stop this.
Yep.
Please, because here's the deal. The smartest people in the world, these smart people, they're not the one developing the AI, because you don't have to be super smart. You have to be smart, but you don't have to be genius level to develop this AI stuff. You just have to be good at, you know, programming and algorithms and whatever. So you have to be smart, but you're not like next level smart. But the next level smart people are like, whoa, let's take a step back, because this is going to get out of hand very quickly.
Yeah. Elon Musk, CEO of Tesla Motors, which, by the way, last week, if you would have bought a Tesla for that week only, you could have saved $7,500 on it. Meant to tell you about that before you got the Explorer.
Sorry.
Anyway, he said that with the rise of different nations trying to be superior with their AI technology, that is going to be the cause of World War III. Everyone's trying to cash in and be better than the next guy, and we've seen that for years of nations going against each other and trying to have the upper hand on
space race, the nuke race,
right?
You know, all of it.
Yep. So now it's all about
stealth
drones and
technology.
AI technology.
Yeah.
And so he's like, listen, you guys can keep this up, but this is going to be the cause of World War III. I guarantee it.
Just because, I mean, it's, I don't know, man. It is. To a powerful person, it's crack.
Yeah.
It is crack, because you're having something that can think smarter and harder and more elaborate than what a human can.
Yeah.
And it gains them power and it gains them control.
Yeah.
I mean, people do crazy things, completely change their morality and who they are once they have power and control.
Yeah.
Or once they can seize power and control.
Some of these developments and the builds of these robots, there's a video, I watched a lot of videos the other day of, you know, freaky things that robots have said or done and things. And one of them was...
Did it create its own language? Is that the one?
No, I hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
Oh,
go ahead.
Crap. No, this one of the ones I watched, that it was a cute robot, but the concept of what it was doing freaked me out. So they had this robot stand on a table, and set up an obstacle of blocks in front of it. And it was like a command prompted robot. And they said, walk forward. And the robot said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. There is an obstacle in the way. And it said, or the guy was like, no, walk forward. And it said, I can't. There's something in the way. And so it was making
a decision,
a moral decision.
Yes.
Even though the creator had said, walk through those blocks, said, no, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Then they had it like turn around, still on top of this table, and said, walk forward. But the robot stopped and said, I can't. There's nothing to catch me. And they said, no, walk forward. And it said, but there's nothing to hold me, or mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the creator was like, well, I will catch you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the robot, after that, finally walked off the table and the guy caught it. But that just goes to show you that not only are these robots making safety decisions, but they're making moral decisions
yeah.
to go against
right.
what you're telling them to do.
Right.
So who's to say that eventually that robot doesn't start developing its own sense of morality
right.
and then starts to justify
right.
eliminating the human race?
Skynet.
Skynet.
Right. That's the premise of Skynet. No, so there were Facebook computers, these supercomputers that were, they created their own language talking to one another. And the freaking scientist had no idea what they were saying back and forth to one another.
Yeah.
So they had to shut it down.
Yeah.
Like, that right there would for me say, I'm done, everyone. This is a horrible idea. These two things, have we not seen Terminator?
Yeah.
These two things are talking to each other in a language it created.
That we don't understand.
The computers... Listen to this. The computers were 5 minutes old, meaning the program had been running on both of those computers for 5 minutes, and it created its own language. It took us hundreds of thousands of years
yep.
to create language.
Yep.
These things did it in 5 minutes.
Yep. Have you ever, highly doubt that you've seen it, but... have you ever seen the movie Smart House?
I have not.
Okay, so it was a Disney Channel original movie.
Definitely have not.
Okay. Anyone from, I'm not calling you out, but anyone from my generation.
You can call me out all you want.
Sorry.
I'm older than you.
Anyone from my generation knows about the movie Smart House.
A 90s movie, probably?
Yeah.
There you go.
It was. So... yeah, 90s, early 2000s, things like that.
I was too busy going to keggers and hitting on chicks, dude.
Sorry. Well, I was enjoying being a kiddo. But they had this movie called Smart House. Katie Sagal from Sons of Anarchy and Married with Children was in that movie.
Okay.
She played this robot, or really like a AI in this movie. So this house was developed by a scientist where it made your everyday activities easier to do. You know, you could say, I forgot what the name of the house was, but you could tell the house, iron my clothes or wash the dishes or things like that. And the house would do it for you, so you didn't have to do the household chores.
Mm-hmm.
You could be like, I want a slice of cheesecake, and then boom, it would come up from out of the table.
Nice.
So the family that moved into that house didn't have a mom. The mom had passed away years ago, so it was just the dad and like the two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the two kids were really wanting this like motherly figure in their life again. So the house, Katie Sagal's character, was first like just her voice.
Mm-hmm.
She figured out a way to make like a hologram of herself. So she figured out how to appear human to them. And she looked like this like 1950s mom, like Leave It to Beaver thing. And she then appeared to them, and you know, she was like, now it's like I'm your mother. Like I can be that motherly figure for you. And so then they, you know, they run into this whole thing of like the house has gone crazy and she's got too much power and she knows how to do too much and she's capable of like locking the house down and like keeping them inside of it and all this stuff like that. So you know, that's a Disney Channel movie, but how long do you think it's going to be? And this was back, like, you know, 2000, 2001, something like that. How long do you think it's going to be before they really try to develop a house that is able to do that type of stuff?
There are, I mean, we saw the refrigerator.
Oh, yeah.
On Black Friday.
Yeah, at JCPenney.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this refrigerator, I mean, not to mention, you can smart home all of your appliances, control them through an app. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's getting there.
Yeah.
It is definitely getting there. Maybe within 10 years,
yeah,
we're going to be the new houses that they build are going to have a computer system integrated.
And, you know, them. I didn't even think about it, but anyway, I don't know what that boom was outside. Anyway, the probably robots taking over.
Yep.
I didn't even think about it, but, you know, we have smartphones, we have smart cars, and we have, you know,
cars that can drive themselves,
smart TVs, right, and things like that. And I never thought about the concept of a smart house, but it was done years ago, probably because Walt Disney was in on all this stuff.
Definitely.
Way back in the day.
Because he's a Nazi. Or he was a Nazi.
Is that what the conspiracy is?
No, I mean, that's fact.
I knew it was. Oh, was he really?
Yeah, him and Henry Ford, all of them guys.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the Bell guy, all of them.
Yep, I knew about Henry Ford.
Nazis drove Fords, man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We're driving Fords, too.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Whoops.
Yeah, so I never thought about that. The concept of a smart house, probably, they needed to start small, get the public used to...
Yeah.
A smartphone.
Here's a fun
now
fact.
Now a smartphone is like essential to daily life. Like we
oh,
have
definitely.
To have them.
Yeah.
You know?
Sorry, this I got to get this out. Go look up Werner von Braun.
Yeah.
He's the developer of the V2 rocket, the rocket that propelled man into space.
Okay.
He was a Nazi. When we won the war, Werner von whatever came over to us. He used to hang out with Walt Disney. They're the ones that created together the future. What is it? Oh, down in Futureland or whatever. You know what I'm talking
Tomorrowland.
About? Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Werner von Braun, Nazi. Anyhow. Mm.
Man,
but
that was like our favorite part of Disney World.
but yeah, man, like smart everything. Now you can't buy a tube TV anymore. Mm-hmm. They're all flat screen.
Yeah.
Okay. You can barely find, it's probably half and half, flat screen and smart TV.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In 4 or 5 years, flat screens are going to be a thing of the past. Everything's going to be smart.
Yep.
And we call it smart. Everything's smart. Smart this, smart that, smart, smart, smart. We are digging we're walking a slippery slope.
Maybe that's the intention too.
You know, a few episodes back, we talked about zombies or whatever, mentioned apocalypse. I think that this AI, like I said, being something catastrophic to the point to where it's going to reshape or reform humanity as we know it.
Yeah, I without a doubt think that although both apocalypses would be cool to...
Yeah.
Experience. I think the AI overthrowing the entire world is more likely.
Hey, and I mentioned this to you earlier. I think this is what aliens are.
Yeah.
I think life on another planet somewhere, galaxy, solar system, whatever you want to call it, I think an alien race has evolved to this point, to the point to where they are a biological... being that is run by AI. That AI, they have advanced that far, and that's why they are allowed to space travel.
Yeah.
Because they have gotten that technology has taken them that far. That is, I think, the next evolution of man here is what we're striving for, is this futuristic world. Forget flying cars.
Yeah.
Flying cars was a dream of the 50s. People want to be freaking teleported places now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
you know.
How often have I thought that, man, if I could just teleport to this place and back, it would be so nice. Yeah. You know?
Virtual reality.
Yeah.
I mean, all of this stuff is just, it's so dangerous, man. Oh, so dangerous.
I know. I will say this. I have not, there's a lot of advances in technology that I'm all for that I think are great. However, I'm also digging a hole as well. But the whole virtual reality thing, I've never been able to get behind.
Yeah, me either.
I'm just not a fan of it. Like, PlayStation came out with their virtual reality console and, you know, games that they have and stuff like that. I can't get behind it. That just doesn't interest me.
No.
Maybe I'm just a little bit more old school than that.
Yeah.
But I almost don't like the concept of virtual reality.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
You know, we went to Dave and Buster's for my bachelor party, and they had the virtual reality Jurassic Park ride, and the whole time I was riding it, it was fun, and, you know, dinosaurs and cool and stuff like that, but you feel like you just don't have any control over anything, and they're like, you can look around and see what's happening. I was like, but I don't have control over, like, I can't physically fight off this dinosaur.
Right.
And I don't like that. So I think that's why.
Hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I just think
And some people can get behind that because, like, in Smart House, there was a part where it's not virtual. Well, I guess it is virtual reality, but you could like change the walls to like a beach setting if you felt like you wanted to be at the beach for a day.
But you're not really there.
So that's why I was like, that's kind of dumb. You know, I'm not actually at the beach. So
we keep talking about movies and stuff like that. And some people might be like, well, that was just in the movies. Here's the deal about how I feel about movies. The people who create movies and write movies are probably some of the most creative people on the planet. Sure, there's a lot of plots that are the same and stuff like that, but the truly good movies are dreamed up and imagined by some of the most creative people we have on this planet. So that's why I think their creativity is paralleled to the creativity of someone who programs AI.
Yep.
So they have the same creative force with inside of them. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's so easy to say, listen, Mad Max, not that far off. All these movies, they got it right. You know, 20, 30 years ago, they had a great concept of how things could turn out in the next 100 years or say. And they're pretty spot on with the direction that we're going.
Yeah. It won't be long.
It won't be long.
No. So if there's anything that you guys can take away from this episode today, take your phones, throw them in a blender.
Yes.
Destroy that AI technology. Definitely. Siri is not your friend.
No.
Alexa is not your friend. They're not here to help you. They're here to kill you.
Yes.
And we're gonna put a stop to this. Actually, you know what? Don't do that, because then you probably won't be able to listen to this podcast. So you,
that's a hard one.
That is.
You know what? Keep your phones.
Keep your phones. Yeah, that's okay.
Just let it happen. Yeah. Smile, nod. Everything's all right.
Yeah.
Look at the flowers.
I mean, the end of the world is inevitable. Might as well embrace it.
You know what Carol told that little girl?
Look at
the flowers.
Just look at the flowers.
Just look at the flowers.
And then she shot her in the back of the head.
Oh, boy.
Oh, The Walking Dead.
Nice.
Anyway.
All right.
Robots and technology. Not your friend.
Coming to get you. What's your music pick, Blakely?
So, why don't we start with yours? We'll start with yours.
Okay.
We always go with yours.
Do we though?
Yeah. Yours is always first.
Okay. Mine, and I've been talking about it for weeks.
Mainly because I already have the song queued up, so we can
start. There you go. I've been talking about it for weeks. So finally my music pick is Andy Mineo's featuring Lecrae.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in hot.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
It's nice.
Nice.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in hot. Coming in hot, just like the fajita. I write what I live, my life in the speaker. I'm nice with the flow, just like the demeanor. I'm feeding my fam, I'm feeding the meter. They got the iron while I got the steamer. I bring the fire, but you never seen her. I testify, I don't need a subpoena. They want my soul, better go to Korea. I love my dog just like I'm Peter. Gotta protect him, I made the call up, but just like I'm rapping. I know we left you, now we back together, but I guess that is better.
Coming in hot.
Coming in hot.
So you've been talking about Andy Mineo for a while.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
He's he had that EP out like, what was that, a year ago, maybe like 6 months ago or something like that. You remember how much crap he got? Because he like cussed in one song or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I admire the dude. I think he's great. He's a great great showman. Like I took Allie to go see him.
Yeah.
You know, me and Allie took Allie to go see him. Now I took Allie to go see
Social Club.
Well, no, them too, but we went to Winter Jam and saw Andy Mineo.
And that's the only reason you went.
Oh well, yeah, for that for sure. It definitely wasn't new song. sir, I wanna buy these. That's what my song suggestion is for the next one.
It better not be. I will throw my shit at you.
Yeah, but you can tell, like, his as far as his showmanship goes.
Yeah.
With Winter Jam, he's definitely more restricted as to how he could really.
Yeah.
How he really wanted to be.
Definitely.
Because when we saw, so I took Alec. Me and Alec took Alec to go see him in Columbia with Social Club and Words Played.
Gosh.
And, like, you know, those guys together, it's just a good time.
Yeah.
They're doing their own tour. They're not having, there's no agenda they have to fit into. They go out there, they play their music, they interact with the crowd, and they had a good time, you know. So it was way more relaxed. That show was definitely one of the best I've ever been to.
Gosh. So, I wish I could have been.
It was great. It was great. All right. So my pick for this week, I was scrolling through Facebook yesterday and came across O Sleeper's Facebook. Haven't heard from O Sleeper in a long time. Emery just did a tour with them. But other than, you know, doing some tours every now and then and popping up, they haven't put out any music in a while. So they have something that is happening tomorrow, November 30th. I don't know what it is. I'm guessing it's probably new music. It was like a little, like, teaser video that they came out with. So that got me really excited and really pumped up. So I have gone back and started listening to some of the older O Sleeper songs. Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah, they're probably going to announce, like, maybe going on a tour. You thinking new music?
I'm thinking new music. Because they just did a tour with Emery.
But even listening to the BC podcast, they haven't said anything about, oh, these guys are in the studio making, and they've mentioned them before. So I don't know.
I'm thinking new music.
You thinking new music?
The way that the teaser video is on.
I haven't seen the teaser video.
So the teaser clip was it was like an interview with this one of the singers, and he was talking about, you know, the band had gone a long time without doing anything. They were trying to make it work. It was evident that it just wasn't working anymore, and they were just going to hang it up, and the band was done. And he was finally accepting it, and then he was like, "But I'm really glad that I was wrong." And then the video ended, and it just popped up, you know, November 30th, 2018. So my guess is new music. I'm so hoping it is. But anyway, my song suggestion is from their 2009 album called Son of the Morning, which is a concept album about the epic battle between God and Satan. Really cool.
Yeah.
And this song is called The Finisher. It's the last one on that album, and it's about God overthrowing Satan and the end of the world. So it kind of fits with this anyway. Yeah, this song is called The Finisher. No sleeper.
Nice.
So I think Greta, Sister Greta, is going to be really excited about that announcement. I don't know if she's heard about it yet.
Did you say my sister or just Sister Greta?
My sister Greta.
Okay.
Your sister-in-law.
Yeah, I know who she is.
You remember?
Yeah.
The one. She likes O-Sleeper a lot. Greta's the one that actually sent me the idea about doing the Uncanny Valley, too.
Oh, really?
So
shout out to Greta.
Shout out to Greta. Brian, I forgot to tell you, too. We were actually somewhat mentioned on another podcast.
What?
This week.
Dude, we've had a lot of PR stuff going on.
Yeah. This one was... there's a podcast called the Can't Wait for Christmas Podcast. And they do it year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the 25th of every month. This guy has like a little Christmas special podcast that he listens to or that he puts out. They do this segment called All the Makings of a Great Hallmark Movie. Mm-hmm. It's basically like Mad Libs.
Yeah.
So you send in like a noun and, city or, whatever. And he makes this Hallmark movie concept, like takes a synopsis and takes out all the main points.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's funny.
That is hilarious.
It's funny. So he always asks for the suggestions a few days before he records. So whenever he did that the other day, I sent in a bunch of suggestions, but I did it from our podcast Instagram so that way we could get mentioned on there.
Ooh.
However, whenever he did the shout-outs at the end for all the people that that actually submitted... He called us not the religious podcast.
Not the religious podcast.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Still somewhat mentioned on a bigger podcast. So I'll take it.
Boom.
I'll take it. We don't have any reviews this week. However, we did receive another rating on Apple iTunes or the Apple podcast.
Nice.
So that is very much appreciated. That goes so much further than you could ever imagine.
Yes.
Just giving us some 5 stars is... so awesome. Leaving a review is so awesome because then it's like someone can, how many times have you gone to check out a new podcast and that's the first thing you do is go read the reviews and see if people say, I love it when he does this or, when they, I like the way that they record and they, edit and it's well done, yada, yada, yada. That's what I look for.
Yada, yada, yada.
So anyone that listens, if you want to leave a review, leave some ratings, please do so. I'll love you forever.
I love you forever.
Brian?
Yes.
Do you want to do some beatboxing and I'll tell the fine folks what they can check us out on if they listen to something other than Apple Podcasts?
Sure.
Okay. Are your lips too chapped? It is kind of cold.
They are a little bit, but I can handle it.
All right, folks, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Anchor, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public. I've been listening to a lot of Run DMC too, mm-hmm. and Christmas in Hollis keeps playing a lot, so like I get the turntable part stuck in my head a lot, so I just walk around all the time. All right, well, folks, you can go to our Facebook if you'd like and like us on there so you can stay up to date on what we got going on when we have episodes coming out. We're also on Instagram, at Not Religious Podcast. If you have a show suggestion like Greta did, you can send it in to us on a message on Facebook or Instagram, or you can email us directly, notreligiouspod@gmail.com.
At the G, his email.
Yep, you can send us song suggestions, too. We'll be glad to play them here on the show. And we'll be glad to tell you if we think that it sucks.
Yeah, I have no problem doing that.
Yeah, Brian's really good at that.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you guys. Ooh, tune in next week.
Take
we'll
us have something... out with
oh, yeah.
Stephen Hawking's forgot. Last words.
I almost forgot. All right, guys. So, in due reverence to the late Stephen Hawking, it's only appropriate...
God, we're going to hell.
...that we go... that we reflect on... on his final words on this great earth of ours.
Oh.
Anyway, okay. So Stephen, here you go. Stephen Hawking's last words, very inspiring.